Hey, everybody, welcome today for ILTA's 20 minute podcast. And today we have a maybe controversial but exciting topic on will artificial intelligence take our legal jobs? I'm the host today, Josh Moore. I'm a lead solutions expert at NetDocuments. And today we are very lucky to have with us Zach Warren from Thomson Reuters. Zach?
Yeah, thank you very much, Josh. Hey there, everybody. Pleasure to be here.
Now, for those of you that don't know Zach, we honestly probably all have read his work. He is the manager of enterprise content for technology and innovation. So he puts out a lot of great content on kind of what's coming in legal from a technology perspective. So couldn't have someone better on the podcast with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Explaining myself, sorry, I probably should have done the full introduction, but it's all good. As Josh mentioned, I'm with the Thomson Reuters Institute. So I'd like to give my little spiel up top. I'm not with the product side of Thomson Reuters, Westlaw and all that. Don't know anything about that, but I am with the research and thought leadership arm. So a lot of the surveys and reports that come out of the Thomson Reuters Institute, such as ChatGPT and law firms, digital strategy report, I'm the one behind those. So I've been with TRI about a year now. I was editor-in-chief of ALM's Legal Tech News before that.
Yeah, I saw you. I mean, you've been in the industry for double digits. So you have seen the transitions in legal technology.
And which is wild, where I joined LTN in 2015, which you wouldn't think 8 years that there'd been that much change, but there really has. Even the rise of the cloud from when I was back in 2015 to now, let alone everything that we're going to be talking about here with AI, generative AI, and a lot of these really complex changes that have happened recently.
Yeah, when I think of the legal industry, it almost seems like we're kind of laggards when it comes to adopting technology. But now we have jumped on the train and it is moving forward and we're going with it.
It's true.
Which, kind of reads my first question I had for you and kind of the whole point of the podcast. So we'll just address the elephant in the room. I mean, Zach, what do you think? Is AI going to take our legal jobs?
Yeah, it's a big question. And like you said, off the top, a little bit of a controversial question. So I figure before diving into that, I figure I want to level set a little bit, just because our own research, and we've also seen it in the ILTA Tech survey, I'm not sure a lot of people necessarily understand the lengths to which AI is already baked into the legal profession. Say, if you use NetDocuments, there's a little bit of AI in that. Research platforms like a Westlaw, there's AI in that. E-discovery technology like Relativity, there's AI in that. AI, even if I think the figure is somewhere around a quarter of people say, oh yeah, I actively use AI on a daily basis. Most likely it's higher than that. Pretty much everybody, any work product or any modern technology that is being used within law firms, the legal profession, probably has some element of AI baked in there. So with that in mind, the question is, well, have we already seen jobs be lost because of AI? And the question is, or the answer is kind of, maybe. One common phrase, especially with the rise of generative AI that I've heard recently, is AI isn't going to replace lawyers, but lawyers who use AI are going to replace lawyers who don't use AI. Okay. And I think that that's kind of a good way to think about it, especially even if you think about the jobs that have shifted already. Law librarians, for the most part, aren't really law librarians anymore. They're information specialists because they're using technology on a daily basis. If you think about paralegals, it's a lot of the same thing. They're not necessarily doing dictation anymore. The technology is doing that for you. You're supposed to be a little bit more tech savvy, provide value to the organization. And if you're thinking into the future, what do first year associates do right now? Well, they're doing basic research, they're doing drafts, doing briefs. Well, what happens when ChatGPT or other generative AI tools start to do well enough that they're writing that brief for you? okay, so what does the first year associate do now? You kind of have to jump forward to maybe what today is second, third year work, a little bit more of the strategic element. Okay, well, are the first years ready for that? Okay, what skills do they need to know in law school then? Everything jumps forward a little bit. And it's a restructuring exactly of how law firms work. So to answer the question more holistically, I don't think there's going to be any overall headcount changes based on AI. But I do think the jobs that people are going to be asked to do will change. More data scientists, more information specialists, people who interplay with the technology. And if you're one of those who can't necessarily get on board, then chances are you'll be replaced with somebody who can.
That's interesting. So yeah, it's almost like we've been walking this whole time and now we have to run because everyone else is running. And if we're not, we're going to get left behind.
Yeah, the old Malcolm Gladwell thought of the tipping point. And I think we're probably getting pretty close to AI isn't a nice to have for many firms. It's becoming a must have because ultimately all of this is in service of clients and what do clients want? And we're seeing in our research and elsewhere on the corporate side, corporate clients really are interested in this. They want those greater efficiencies. They're putting pressure on their law firms in RFPs and otherwise. And law firms, no matter what the size, small, mid-size, large, are starting to see, wait, this is just something we have to do because we are asked about it by our clients increasingly.
Yeah. And it kind of brings up, you mentioned a good point too. I mean, we have, AI has been around for quite a while in different aspects. But the whole idea of this large language model, ChatGPT stuff, it seems to just have exploded with what AI really, I guess, can do. Yep. So I'm curious, as we see AI evolve, what do you think is down the road? And I mean, you mentioned some things like, you know, we don't have to do briefs anymore, certain things, but what do you see is in the future?
Yeah, it's interesting. So we did some research about ChatGPT and generative AI in the law firm and the corporate legal department. But for the LT audience, I'll probably focus on the law firm stuff, where kind of the high level highlight is everybody's interested in this. It was around 3/4 of respondents said, yeah, we think that there is a use case. This can be used in the firm. About half said, we actively think this should be used in the firm. But adoption wasn't quite there yet. It was only less than 10% actually said that they're using generative AI tools on a daily basis. So I think in the immediate future, that's what it is not only understanding how the technology can be used, but starting to put it into practice, having some policies and procedures to make sure that it is being used effectively and with those risks in mind that I think we may talk about a little bit too, to make sure that confidentiality concerns, privacy concerns, security concerns are being addressed in use. Once that starts to really take hold. I mean, the use cases are numerous for this sort of technology in research and brief drafting, even just in terms of putting data into a tool and getting it to synthesize all of the data and have outputs to help understand things a little bit better. There are a lot of different ways that this can go, but it's just a matter of taking that first step and actually turning that interest into adoption.
Yeah, and you do bring up a good point too, because, you know, data privacy, security, compliance, right? All these different things. A lot of people worry. I mean, there is risk, it seems like, associated to plugging that all in this computer, this AI, and it's spitting out who knows what. So how do you think that's kind of going to play out, especially in the practice of law, where, I don't know, I kind of see two paths. I see one where, you know, the law firms use the technology. We've also started to see different tools get created that say, hey, you don't need to go to a law firm. Go to this website, plug it in, and we'll let the AI do all your legal work for way less.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. And kind of taking your two parallel paths there. For legal professionals, I definitely think that there are risks. And I think people know that there are risks. We saw that in our research too. There was only about 2% of respondents that said, I don't think this is risky. Everybody realizes that there's some concerns here. But I do think those concerns are being actively addressed. The privacy, the confidentiality. I'm trying to be product agnostic here, but pretty much no matter what legal technology provider is working on this stuff, they're going to be putting privacy and confidentiality up front, as well as the accuracy concerns. We've heard a lot about hallucinations. Yeah. That's kind of inherent in generative AI technology, is it can make stuff up sometimes. But if you have content and a check against that to make sure that any answer that generative AI technology gives actually is an accurate answer, then it's going to be kind of inherently better than what OpenAI, ChatGPT, whatever it makes up. But those hallucination concerns, as long as they exist in the public tool, then it's going to be really an issue for exactly the people that you were talking about, who say, I don't necessarily, like, I can't pay for a lawyer. I don't want to go to a lawyer. Yeah. Let me just type in my question into ChatGPT, which means that I think almost this is a social issue as much as a technological issue of people having legal competence and legal awareness to understand what is good advice and what is bad advice. Like, I feel like a lot of people have heard about at this point about the New York lawyer who was trying to get relevant cases to him out of ChatGPT, got 6 cases that were 100% made up. The entire verification that he used was, oh, where did you get these cases from, ChatGPT? And ChatGPT said, oh, they are found in Westlaw and Lexis, when in reality, no, they very much were not. If we're seeing lawyers be confused and be duped by this, what do you expect from the lay professional that says, oh yeah, that looks like a bunch of names and numbers after something. That definitely is worthwhile. I can totally trust what ChatGPT is telling me. That is an issue. So I don't know whether that's something that's solved by regulation. I know some people have pushed for regulation, even of OpenAI, that says, hey, when somebody's asking you a legal question, make sure that you put in a little disclaimer that this is not actionable legal advice in there. It's also something that maybe people just need to be more aware that these tools aren't perfect. And going to a lawyer, going to a firm that can give you actionable legal advice is going to be more worthwhile. There's also a bunch of unauthorized practice of law questions that are brought up with that.
Yeah.
That's a whole rabbit hole that probably don't want to dive down right now.
Yeah, that is a valid point. Yeah. At what point does, where do we draw the line on what AI can and can't say and what is actual advice and not? No, that's a great perspective too. And I think you're kind of right. We're kind of at the early stages of it. And I would anticipate over the next few years, we'd see kind of those walls get put up so that we make sure that when we cite those cases, that those are actual cases.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remember too, ChatGPT went public in November. So doing some quick math in my head, 8 months the technology has been public out there. That isn't too much time to have those firewalls and to have that education around what this thing can and can't do. It's still very much the wild, wild west. So I'd say not even for the public, even for legal professionals that are using this stuff, it's very much still play around with it, trust, but verify. Anything that you're having to use this for right now, make sure that it's telling you accurate information. And maybe it's going to take a little bit more time to try and research to make sure that it's telling you accurate information. It's really, the tool itself is interesting, but I wouldn't be trusting it in its current iteration 100%.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that kind of, you know, leads me to wonder, from your experience, at least, you know, we mentioned AI has been around a while, but when we see all this excitement for AI today, what are those different challenges that you think the legal industry that AI could solve for or address?
Well, I think it's not necessarily new challenges, a lot of it, because people are still going to be having to draft briefs, draft contracts. Yeah. People are still going to have to do legal research, but it's the time scale that I really think is the difference here. Okay. Like, even compared to past technologies, the cloud is spectacular. What you can do with the cloud is spectacular. Say you have a 10-hour project where you're trying to get contracts together, merge a bunch of contracts into one or something. Mm-hmm. the cloud and cloud searching allows you to maybe do that 10-hour task in 7-8 hours. And that's awesome time savings. Now think about ChatGPT, where it's, okay, we have all of these different contracts. Let me put it into a tool and let ChatGPT combine it all into one. Maybe it takes 15 minutes to create that contract. And then, yeah, you're doing some editing, you're searching through, making sure that everything is combined correctly. Say you take 2 hours to do that. Well, what used to be a 10-hour task is now a 2.5-hour task. It's just the time scale of what has changed here is really, really been bolstered. And it's wild the extent to which maybe non-billable tasks in the past, have gone from 10 to 2.5, which you would hope would allow attorneys and others that are working with attorneys to be able to drive more value for the organization. So that's a long-winded way of saying, I don't think the use cases are necessarily new here, but it's just how you accomplish those use cases could dramatically change.
Yeah, so it sounds like the biggest thing is just those efficiency gains.
Yes, which is, especially for attorneys working on a billable hour, potentially a bad word, efficiency gain, but it's a matter of, okay, so how are you going to demonstrate value? So I mentioned we did our research with corporate legal departments as well, and we asked them the same question or a similar question of, do you want your law firms to be using this? And by and large, I think around 40% said, yeah, we definitely think our law firm should be using this. And around a 30% said, we're not quite sure yet. We're still researching. But that's around a quarter or less actively said no. So for the most part, corporate legal departments think, yeah, we want our outside firms to be using this as well. And the only feedback that we got, it seems like clients weren't too concerned about accuracy or confidentiality, which surprised me. They were concerned about value. They said, yeah, this exists. What we want to be paying our law firms for is legal advice. If it's just ChatGPT, well, we can ask ChatGPT something ourselves. What law firms need to provide us is that value on top. So that's what a lot of law firms, technologists being a big piece of that, because they're the ones that are helping out their lawyers with prompts, with using this technology, but they need to be doing so in a way that provides actual value as compared to just regurgitating something that clients could do themselves.
Yeah, and I could see clients, at least from the corporate perspective of law firms, saying, hey, why are we paying you to do 10 hours of this work when this other firm can do it in 5 and it's the same result?
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's... that's kind of the crunch that's happening right now. A lot, you've seen it with the rise of legal operations. I think there was an ACC survey that said at least 60% of corporate legal departments have one person dedicated to ops at least right now. And I think it was around 70% of chief legal officers said, yeah, legal operations is a top priority for me right now. Clients are understanding this technology just as well as law firms are. And to my point earlier, starting to ask those questions a little bit more.
Yeah, wow, that's a great perspective. Well, then if we think about legal professionals today listening to this, what advice would you give them when it comes to kind of AI and what's there, what's coming?
Number one is just play around with it. Honestly, there's no better teacher than experience. And with ChatGPT being free, particularly for the ILTA crowd, for the technologists on the call, you're probably going to be questions about, hey, is this something I can use? Well, the best way to answer that question is say, yeah, I've played around with it and this is what it does well. This is what it doesn't do well. These are some of the concerns, particularly about using client data. And then secondly, just learning what the risks are. Particularly with something like ChatGPT, it's kind of buried a little bit in the terms of service there that any data that is put into ChatGPT is property of OpenAI. Knowing that and starting to develop some parameters around, okay, we don't want to use client data in this. These are worthwhile uses. These are uses that we want to either warn against or ban against is probably something good to have. don't necessarily think it's good to outright ban these tools just because they do bring a lot of efficiencies. It's a lot of time savings, but you want to do so in a responsible way. And it's probably going to be incumbent on the technologists and firms, hopefully, to have a seat at the table to really guide what is responsible usage.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, that kind of, don't you have a session? Are you going to go to ILTACON this year?
I will be at ILTACON. Yeah. And the session that I'm going to be presenting on there is all about upskilling, what IT professionals and others and firms need to know and have in their back pocket to become better value drivers and better promote their own careers within firms. And yeah, I think what we talked about today is a big part of that.
Yeah, that seems like one of the tools in that quiver to get them there.
100%. So yeah, on Wednesday at ILTACON, if you're able to come, I'd highly suggest it. I think it's going to be a good panel.
Yeah, Wednesday. Okay, yeah. For those listening, Wednesday. Okay, back in person. Ask him more about ChatGPT and law and all those things, AI. But well, it's great to have you today, Zach, on the podcast to talk a little bit more AI. How will it affect the legal industry? Will it take our jobs, which we're glad to hear? You don't think it will? Maybe it'll just fast track our job, make life a little bit quicker, get us to where we want to go.
Fingers crossed. And thank you very much for having me, Josh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone, I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks again for tuning in.